Excuse me, the recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 15th of September, 2015. On the call today, we have Sunny Kitu Ikepi, Cheryl Lindenor, Sarah Baki, Pam Little, Jonathan Zuck, Tony Adornato, and Graham Bunton. I show no apologies listed for today's conference. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, Terry. Are there any updates to anyone's statements of interest? Glad to hear it. So let's just start launch into our agenda here and the review of the submitted comments. Can I hand that back to staff that compiled this lovely document to lead that discussion?
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you. This is Barry Cobb for the record. Before we jump into the review of the public comments, I just wanted to bring everybody up to speed. Clearly, we missed our 14 September deadline to submit the final report to the GNSO Council. Over in the right-hand part of the screen, I put the next upcoming meeting dates leading up to the motion and documents deadline for 11 October, which is in preparation for the GNSO Council meeting in Dublin. So we basically have four meeting opportunities to review through the comments and update the final report as the group agrees. So with that, let's take a look at the report of public comments. This version that you see in front of you now is an amalgamation of kind of what's occurred from the CCWG, because I thought that that format was very useful in terms of identifying the key comments that really require changes or at least further deliberation by the group in terms of the substance of a particular comment. Quite often there are very generic comments of acceptance, and there's really not much need to, for the group to deliberate them, and certainly no action would be taken against a comment like that. But those that are more substantive that might require at least further deliberation on a particular issue and or ultimately leading to a change in the final report, this particular format is seems to be a little bit more helpful. And Cheryl, I'll unsync it in a minute, but I want to guide you all through kind of what I'm hoping that we can accomplish. So the first two pages are an ICANN required format for the report that is submitted up into the public comment forum. In the past, there's typically been summaries of those comments that are only included, but we're going to kind of advance that a little bit more, and I think that it's important that the group's deliberation on each of the comments also be submitted in that regard so that each individual commenter can clearly make a connection with their comment, what the group's response was, and any changes that were required. Last week we didn't get a chance to meet, but the meeting prior to that, there was one comment submitted by Martine from PIR, and we had discussed that through the group, so I took the liberty of putting together kind of a draft response and possible action. So our process is going to pretty much be the same. We're going to review through each of the comments here on the call, understand or have any deliberations about that particular comment, and as I mentioned, then if there's any agreement amongst the group to change any language in the final report, then we can document that here. So I won't go through the reading Martine's comment other than to say that in general it was more around the particular use of ex ante research and impact analysis. And as I understood the deliberations from the working group, that it would probably be worth taking a look at the report to update it in a way that for those recommendations that suggested our pseudo continuous improvement recommendation, that they be updated in a way that outlines both the potential for a positive or a negative implications as the result of that implementation. So with that, when we go offline, I would ask that you kind of review that to make sure that that was captured appropriately. And before we continue on, how we're creating the connection of what the group will deliberate versus what action is taken into the report, I'm going to show you in the Adobe Connect room the next version of the final report. And in particular, I've made highlighted comments. I don't think I've sent this version out to the group yet, but I just wanted to show you how we're going to try to maintain this continuity between the comments and the reports themselves. And so I've highlighted some side comments here that these two recommendations, that the wording may need to be updated per that Martine Botterman comment. And so for the next couple of sessions, what we'll do is just review for each comment, document the deliberations. At the close of the call, then I'll go back, and if there are any noted changes to the report, I'll highlight those. And then probably either next session or the session after that, we'll turn our attention back to the final report and then start working on any modifications to the report itself in preparation to submit it to the council. Is there any questions or concerns about that approach? All right. Hearing and seeing none, except some agreement. So we'll go back to the public comment review tool, and I'll get us started on the second comment. So the structure of the document is basically the top section is more or less general comments, and then there are some further sections that kind of get into the details or specifics of some of the recommendations that the group is proposing. So they're more or less subdivided, comments are subdivided by topic or issue, really more topic or recommendation. And so Google, for instance, had a pretty extensive comment, and there's, I think, seven or eight entries within the PCRT that are highlighting kind of different aspects of their comment back into the report. And so that's why you'll see multiple versions instead of just one big lengthy comment that they had submitted into the public comment forum. So we'll be starting off we'll be starting off with the second comment, and I'll just quickly read through this, and then we'll take a pause, open it up to the floor if there's any response to that. And if not, then we'll just work our way down the list. So the second comment is from Arthur Zonenberg. He is affiliated with HostNet, which I believe is out of Northern Europe. And his comments basically supports the goal of the work, thinks a particular high-level performance data gathered for the IRTP will provide an essential pilot effort to show positive value of the DMPM working group can have on policy, additional responses that he made to the charter questions. And I'll note just real quick, Arthur Zonenberg was a part of the IRTP Part D working group, which was kind of somewhat influential into our deliberations, especially when we were trying to flesh out some of the use case that we were perhaps potentially wanting to seek some input on, which would do a review of the transfer policy down the road after its implementation. But at any rate, charter question A, I won't bother reading through the charter questions themselves. I think we're pretty familiar with those. But he mentions that data describing a problem can be the start of policy in addition to being gathered in response to policies. In regards to question B, it's beyond contractual compliance. It's advisable to address and accept input on whether sufficient data and metrics exist for measuring existing policies. And against question C is that he agrees on the necessity of prioritizing and right-sizing solutions. And in regards to D, E, and F, notes that there's a lot of interesting data that can already be gathered at the registry level alone, bypassing the need for a registrar consent or cost. Before I open it up, I think I'll just note that, it sounds like that the group has deliberated on these in one way or another, kind of referring back to A, which is part of one of our recommendations about the pilot effort, which is to hopefully provide opportunity to further understand an issue prior to initiating any kind of working group or more formalized effort to detail or dive into a particular issue. So I feel that that part's addressed. Then in terms of B, which I believe is also kind of in relation to our pseudo-continuous improvement recommendations, and that is, essentially accepting the input on whether sufficient data will be available for measuring the existing policies. And I think we've also talked about with Charter Question C about prioritizing or right-sizing solutions. And so, the intent back again with the pilot program or pilot effort is that if data were to come back that would suggest that the issue may not be as big or as warranted to be further addressed or more formally addressed at that time, that could aid or potentially aid in improving existing workloads out there or minimizing or limiting the workloads that we're experiencing out there. And notes that interesting data can already be gathered at the registry level alone, which is also something that we discussed about kind of in relation to the IRTP use case where we talked about the contractual requirements that registries have to provide their monthly registry reports in addition to some other data that's publicly available. So with that, I'll open up the floor. Are there any questions or comments? I have noted that, in general, that there was agreement, and I believe we'll wait to document any working group response, but from what I gather at this point, I don't think that it influences or any changes to the final report.
Barry, I certainly agree with that assessment. I mean, as I read those, I don't see them as contradictory to the conclusions we reached in any way or to the proposals we made.
Right, thank you. And I'm just kind of making a quick note for myself for documentation purposes. So we'll move along into comment number three. This was from the Registry Stakeholder Group. The GTLD Registry Stakeholder Group supports the proposed recommendations for the use of data metrics for policymaking and commends the group's efforts and appreciates inclusion of any previous registry input into its initial report. Again, it appears to be agreement with our recommendations. The response to B standard, thank you for their comment, and basically action taken like none.
No.
Disagreement with that, please.
Yeah.
Sanjanito, is there any way that you can correct your mic? I'm assuming that you're using Adobe Connect. If you can't mute your mic through there, could you possibly log out and try logging back in? That sounds like that may have helped. Thank you. All right, moving on to the next comment. Here is where it's comment 4 at the bottom of page 5. Most of it starts at the top of page 6. And I don't believe I ever unsynced this. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and just drive through Adobe Connect as we move through these. So Google did have some pretty substantive comments. They appreciate the opportunity to comment on the initial report and data for metrics for policymaking. They agree that the GNSO and PDP should make use of available data to improve policy outcomes. Use of data can complement the multi-stakeholder process and help focus the community efforts on issues and initiatives with broadcast and most significant potential effects. Use of data and metrics may also improve the effectiveness of the PDP by helping the community set clear goals, benchmarks, as part of the PDP itself. Data and metrics will allow ICANN and the community to assess whether PDP outcomes support their objectives and to use these findings to better guide future efforts. Taken collectively, the use of data and metrics to refine and improve the PDP will benefit all stakeholders. While supporting the general effort of the working group, they propose several other recommendations. And as I mentioned earlier, these were kind of broken apart based on particular topics. Most of them are located in the general comments section, but there's a few taken elsewhere. So unless there's objection, for this particular row, I'm just going to mark it as agreement and show that there was no action taken in regard to this particular section. All right, we will move on to the 5th, which is also by Google. Getting some slow response in the Adobe Connect room. Hold on. All right. So this is also Google. Provide for the collection of qualitative data in addition to quantitative data to the extent that it's not already captured in the multi-stakeholder process. They're stating that the initial report focuses almost exclusively on quantitative data process itself. While the nature of the multi-stakeholder process itself ensures that the PDP takes into account some qualitative experience, there may be relevant voices and experiences that are not reflected in the PDP. Alternatively, the composition of the PDP working group may not be adequately representative of the range of parties affected by the issue of study. In these cases, structured use of qualitative data as a complement to quantitative research may significantly improve the policy process. The need for qualitative data is particularly acute where policies touch on registrants or internet users, and given the size and diversity of these categories, it's impossible to garner an accurate view of registrants or users' perspectives solely through the ICANN working group model. And it's in this model that participation by registrants and users is highly idiosyncratic and often not adequately representative of the internet user community as a whole. As such, policies that directly affect registrants or users could benefit from surveys or direct observation or more representative samples of users to understand how they engage with the DNS along other relevant indicators. So I think for this one, we did touch a little bit in regards to qualitative data, but it was really only in the sense of around one of our recommendations, which touches on the early outreach, which is at current state mostly or predominantly a qualitative exercise. And we had mentioned that the recommendation, which updates the working group guidelines, also is making note of that it should include a quantitative component where possible. This particular comment seems to want to touch on the opposite, that the group's deliberations mostly focused on the quantitative components and not so much some of the qualitative elements, in addition to needing to outreach well beyond just the immediate GNSO community, but the larger internet community. And so I'll open up the floor if the group has any ideas or anything to mention in that respect of how we respond to this comment.
Well, Barry, this is Jonathan. I guess I'll get things started. I have to say that I'm not sure I know what qualitative data actually is. I mean, if it's an actual statistically significant survey, it becomes quantitative data. And if it's anecdotal discussions to get different perspectives, I feel like that happens now far more often than the collection of quantitative data. So, I mean, I guess I can sympathize with this perspective, but it's more a question of what our charter is to do, which is to find out ways to use data and to use the word data in the next to qualitative doesn't make it data because you call it data. And I don't think we presume to be the sole reform agency of the PDP process, but instead are looking at how to incorporate data and metrics, i.e. things that are measurable, into the policy development process. I mean, I guess my initial reaction is that this is outside our charter. I'm interested in how other people feel about that. But
thank you, Jonathan. I see that Cheryl agrees or green checkmarks that comment. And Pam also mentioned in the chat that qualitative data is much harder to define, collect, or interpret. Certainly, it is difficult to quantify it. You know, even in a sense, you could say that this very exercise that we're doing now is a qualitative exercise. And out of it, especially under this kind of new method of at least trying to initially tag some of these comments as agreement, divergence, or concerns, is a small quantitative component. But I would agree with Pam's comment that it's definitely not an easy task to distill qualitative data in any form of quantitative mechanism. And I'd also add that, you know, when you look at the PDP process, as of yesterday, for instance, and Jonathan, I believe you touched on this point, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for qualitative input. There's the public comment period that is performed at the initial report stage, the initial issue report stage. And then there's, of course, deliberations on the council, which is usually mostly a qualitative kind of component that determines whether an issue should be formed into a working group. At the early stages of the working group, there is the early outreach to the SOs and ACs, again, which is more a qualitative exercise. And then in a typical PDP, then when the group presents its initial report, then there's that additional public comment, which is typically a qualitative exercise, not to mention the deliberations within the group. So I guess in general, I think that the group agrees that most of what we do is qualitative in nature. Are there any comments as it relates to the the scope of the people that are involved. And Cheryl, raise your hand, please.
Thanks, Cheryl, for the record, and obviously I'm psychically connected to you this morning, Barry, because the thought that was going through my mind from an at-large perspective just went ding, and it may be a desire being expressed to go outside of ourselves in terms of the qualitative data analysis, and that's the type of thing that, depending on the source material and the work at hand, could be picked up in a, in inverted commas, more public survey of internet end users or registrants, you know, third party type survey stuff, stuff tagged on the end of web interactions, that type of material. So I just thought we should probably recognise that. And perhaps even ask if that is what was intended. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, you know, I would agree with that. I think in a perfect world, any kind of issue that was being deliberated would be seen by all. And, you know, that's, the question is by what mechanisms and what processes and what resources are required to do to make perfect state. And we all recognize that we can't achieve perfect state in this case. But I think it's kind of a conundrum that the community has been pondering for a while. Even in the simplest of survey forms, and you know, what I would consider somewhat extensive outreach efforts to try to communicate the availability of some of these surveys. They certainly don't get posted in the New York Times or anything like that, but I'm wondering if the group has any ideas about how we can, because at the end of the day, it's all about advertising the availability of it, and then from there, it's up to the community member beyond the GNSO that even takes an interest or has an understanding of what those particular issues are about some of what that survey contains. Cheryl, please.
Thanks, and sorry about the doggy barking background, Cheryl, for the record, along with her pack of dogs. Couple of things. I'll draw your attention to what I just put in the chat. For example, I'm well aware that Big Pulse, which ICANN has an account with and which is used for little more than a voting tool, their daily bread as an internationally renowned company is in fact extracting qualitative analysis from, you know, man in the street type stuff on a huge and wide variety of topics. But I'm also aware, of course, that even some of our industry do have third-party sourced survey materials that may indeed from time to time be useful for us to tap into. Immediately coming to mind is our State of the Internet in Australia stuff that we do as a combination of AUDA and our Oz Registry service provider. So, you know, that's where when people, you know, log off or try and finish, you know, a simple web interaction, a little tiny box hops up and says, you know, would you answer these three questions, yes or no type stuff. So it doesn't have to go out in the New York Times. There's a whole bunch of ways that it can be done and done extraordinarily cost effectively in the scheme of things. Thanks. But it's a professional job.
Well, and I guess this is Jonathan again. I guess I would consider well-distilled qualitative data to then be quantitative, and we're dealing with that in the CCT review metrics, where we ended up getting a set of surveys commissioned to statistically measure what is essentially a qualitative issue about consumer trust. And so, I think once you have data you can rely on that's qualitative, it becomes quantitative. And I guess I would suggest, in addition to that, that if a working group goes through the rigor of defining their problem quantitatively, defining the solution quantitatively, that it's actually a better communication tool for people that want to make qualitative objection to the definition of the problem in that way. And so going through the rigor of actually saying what you mean in a quantitative way, I think will actually facilitate qualitative objection, if any exists.
Right. Thank you, Jonathan. And Cheryl, is that an old hand or a response?
It's a very old hand. Sorry, I was distracted in my era.
All right, no worries. Just to give you an idea, I'm taking like some on-the-fly notes of the dialogue here after the call. I'll review it through the transcript and basically distill the transcript dialogue into an overall working group response. But that said, it sounds like there's agreement that there could be more done here. Is there anything that this specific working group that we can do to better and either enhance the report to discuss this particular issue or this notion, any ideas on what we should do, or is there any changes to the report that maybe we should take a look at?
And this is Jonathan. I guess I don't see changes to our recommendations. We could make changes to our justifications to reflect what I just said about improved communication with those who might make qualitative, inputs. But I think largely our response to this has got to be that it's outside our scope.
All right, thank you, Jonathan. All right, we'll move on to the next comment, which is also by Google. This is where leverage existing data sources to the fullest extent possible. Working groups should be encouraged to use easily accessible pre-existing data sources where available. For example, working groups can rely on first on data that's publicly available as well as data that is already being collected and processed by existing providers that observe and analyze DNS trends, who is information, and other relevant data. This approach avoids the cost and delays associated with appointing a third-party provider to collect and handle relevant information. To facilitate this process, ICANN staff could include the issues report all publicly available or readily accessible data sources related to a PDP and how such sources would be used, if applicable. Key metric considerations sections for future working group charters proposed in Annex A could be revised to reflect these available data sources. Any comments in regard to that?
Barry, can you scroll down to that row?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was working off. I was working
no
on
No problem. That. I didn't catch it all when you're reading it.
So it seemed to me that I think the key suggestion here is that within the kind of template key metric consideration section that we could maybe provide some of the publicly available types of data sources to provide hints to future charter drafting teams for possible ideas depending on the type of issue that they're trying to consider, or at least that was my takeaway from that.
Just so you know, I agree to what you just said, Barry.
Right. Thank you, Cheryl. And I think the other component to consider here is, they're kind of touching on the point about a third-party aggregator. I do believe that the group's deliberations about that aspect of it was predominantly around those data sources that aren't publicly available, or certainly where data may be considered sensitive in some regards, and that it would need to be aggregated or anonymized in some way. So I do believe that the group has more or less touched on the large substance of this comment as it relates to those aspects. But I do think it could be beneficial that we can maybe try to include a hints and tips portion to update the charter with. All right, and we got a plus one from Cheryl. Right, and plus one from Jonathan. All right, so we'll move on to comment number 7, which is also by Google. This is assigned full-time staff to manage data collection and analysis. Past efforts by ICANN to collect data for the purposes of reporting or policymaking have relied heavily on the use of independent third-party providers. Similarly, the initial report makes repeated reference to the use of third parties to collect and process such data to the extent that the use of data and metrics as described. I need to scroll up for you. I'm sorry again. I think I'll unsync it, and from now on, the group can navigate on their own within the Adobe Connect room as I'm reading off of the raw document. To the extent that the use of data and metrics as described in the initial report become a regular and significant part of the PDP, ICANN should appoint or hire full-time staff with the requisite skills to manage the collection and analysis of such data and or maintain ongoing relationships with third-party firms capable of filling gaps in the organization's capacity to manage such data. Ad hoc use of independent third-party providers can create inefficiencies, including time expended to manage a request for a proposal, engage a provider, as well as cost in retaining that provider. ICANN should weigh different efficiency and value could be maximized by retaining staff with the requisite skills to manage such processes or establish ongoing retainers with capable third-party firms. Cheryl, please.
Thanks. I've got to say I agree with their last part, absolutely. I just think we need to recognize that in many of these situations we do need a proof of concept, and whilst as an end game, I think I'd like to say, yes, we agree totally. I think we should recognize their last part in particular as essential to be constantly cognitive of, but post-piloting, this would need to be reconsidered, in my view anyway.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. In response to that, I can't comment necessarily on the policy staff's or ICANN's capability to go hire additional resources based on a public comment per se. I know that there are some activities not specific to this that do occur within ICANN about the collection of data, a lot of which is more ICANN-centric than necessarily seeking other data sources out there to make them available. The one thing that I would like to point out in terms of how third-party aggregators can be somewhat inefficient, and specifically the mention of RFPs, I think that is kind of, at least in my interpretation of the pilot effort, is to avoid, or the hope is to avoid, a scale of need for particular types of data where a more formal process is required to obtain that data. And I, this is probably a bad analogy, but you know, we're I think the kind of the generalized scope of the pilot effort would be requests for metrics or data that, you know, a credit card could almost be used to go obtain that, where it's not so much a significant amount of cost that it requires a formal RFP or any other kind of contracting kind of process. Any other comments? Is there any action that the group needs to take in relation to this? Does the group want to make a recommendation that ICANN should go hire staff?
I'm a little bit hesitant because, I mean, and this might be an opportunity for Graham and Pam to speak up, but I know that part of the reason that there's significant mention of third parties in this is not only because they're sources of data, but because there's a promise of some sort of anonymization reduction of data before it gets to ICANN that parties might not want to share directly with ICANN, and that was part of the rationale, and I don't know if that's worth repeating in the in our response.
Thank you, Jonathan. Graham.
Hey, Jonathan. May I? I think the short answer is that registrars, anyway, I don't want to presume to speak for registries, that we just don't trust ICANN with that level of data. And certainly there's been a few breaches, but that I think will give us all pause. I don't know that we need to reiterate the reasons why, but certainly a neutral third party for the collection, aggregation, and anonymization that is not ICANN is, I think, pretty mandatory for contracted parties.
So the question, I guess, is whether we state that explicitly in our response to this comment, or... I guess that's the question, and I guess I'm inclined to say that we should continue to explore the possibility of staff expansion to handle data analysis, but there will be instances in which confidentiality dictates the use of a third party or something like that. Does that make sense as an addition?
Jonathan, Cheryl here. I agree with you, and I think it's really important that we keep that balance front of our documentation at all times. That doesn't necessarily mean that at some future point in time, just someone to manage procurement may not be useful. And certainly,
right.
Established relationships, even with people on companies on retainer, is still important. So I wouldn't want. I'd be saying not now, not necessarily no, never, but keep the ongoing, I would suspect, be shocked and horrified if it wasn't, need for good third-party and aggregating services to manage the anonymizing as an essential. Thanks.
And I guess to some extent we can argue that Aliza's position is somewhat new as someone who, as you describe it, Cheryl, might be the one riding herd on these third parties to decrease the costs and inefficiencies associated with their use. That's a fairly unique individual that's been added to the ICANN roles of late that can play some of the role of mitigating the concerns that they raise.
Yeah, well worthwhile noting that. Exactly. Perfect.
All right, great. Thank you all. Graham, is old hand? All right, thank you. All right, we'll move along to comment 8, and again, you have scroll control. This is also, I should say, I'm assuming that the action taken in terms of the final report will be none, but we will create a formalized working group response based off of the discussions that we just had here. Right. Comment 8, also by Google, consistently apply procedures for the collection and analysis of data. Appreciate the initial report's high-level acknowledgement of limitations on requesting data from registries and registrars and support the principles set forth for the process of requesting data from contracted parties. Given their roles in the DNS, a significant fraction of PDP-relevant data will inevitably reside within the contracted parties. However, we are somewhat concerned by the initial report's differential treatment of registry and registrar data within with that of outside parties. The principles outlined, including clear purpose, confidentiality, anonymization, aggregation, and removal of PII, personal information, should be generally applicable to any data collection process and not specific to the contracted parties. Further, just as ICANN and working groups cannot require outside parties to surrender data, the same must be true of registry and registrar data. While adherence to these principles is likely necessary to mitigate contracted parties' concerns in surrendering data, it may not be sufficient. Where issues persist, the outcome of the non-PDP working group cannot be deemed to create new requirements for contracted parties to surrender data as part of the policy process outside of the limited circumstances provided for in the registry agreement or RAA. Accordingly, working groups must also consider the potential selection biases associated with data that is voluntarily provided by contract parties. So I think here is pretty much a firm restatement of some of the deliberations that have occurred within the group, and I'll turn it over to Cheryl, please.
My typing doesn't seem to be turning up as quickly as the conversation's probably moving on. Cheryl, for the record, yeah, look, I think this is all fair enough. I think it's absolutely a restatement. In fact, I would see this as an agreement.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. And yes, and I think that that is it is outlined within, you know, the group's deliberations in the report that, you know, certainly this was a noted issue. It was the foundation for the principles. I do think that there is a hint of extra that we may not have considered in the report, is most of the principles that we outlined were specific to contracted parties. You know, in terms of data collected from some other third-party provider, I can't think of an instance right off of the top of my head, but certainly if personal information were somehow included in that in some way or another, that confidentiality and anonymization should be strongly considered in those cases. I don't think I recall any specific deliberations in that respect to non-contracted party types of data that may exist out there. And so, you know, perhaps maybe we can make note of that in somewhere in the deliberations report, but I'm not sure that that necessarily affects any of the recommendations themselves.
Cheryl, back to you. I think that's embellishment as opposed to a new idea, but yes.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Any other comments or concerns? Okay, we'll be moving on to comment 9, and surprise, it's Google. Clarify any changes to PDP to the work product templates referenced in the initial report. While the initial report makes repeated reference to the use of standardized templates set forth in the draft redline of the GNSO operating procedures, the redline itself does not include active links to the documents referenced. With the exception of the proposed updated charter, which is also set forth in Exhibit A, it's not clear whether and how this documentation is to be updated. This documentation should be provided as part of the subsequent public comment process to allow the community to weigh in on any proposed changes to the documentation, which may have implications for the PDP. So this is Perry, and I'll start off with this comment. the comment is indeed correct that the red line of the GNSO operating procedures, I believe it was Section 5 of Annex 1 or something along those lines, the current version has links to existing completed work products, some of which are very old, and I think some of the links are to IRTP Part A, which is as long as 4 and 5, if not longer, 6 years ago. And that particular section was updated to mostly reflect the latest final work products produced out of IRTPD and to make those consistent. The current version has IRTPA, C, and several other different working groups where I tried to make the edits cohesive to the output of one of our, you know, most major PDPs. In addition to that, a particular section has a new subsection, which is to basically the blank, I shouldn't use the word blank, but the minimal required contents of a particular initial report or issue report, an issue report and a initial report that will be slimmed down, that is issue topic agnostic. It will have lorem ipsum text here and there, except in the places where there is repeatable requirements per the PDP guidelines of certain content belonging based on those work product templates. Long of the short, I've mentioned here before that staff is working on those templates. It's still probably going to be several weeks before we have those produced to make available. The creation of the templates was first kind of a self-serving exercise. Having authored several of these, the typical practice is that we would take something from IRTPD, sanitize it for the next issue, for example, DMPM, as may have been the case. There is a lot of logic in the numbered and ordered list that are broken, that can't seem to be repairable. There's inconsistencies in the style of text. There's boring attributes about the look and feel of the document. So all of those were really kind of meant to just assist staff in creating a more consistent work product when we assist the community in creating these work products. The secondary recommendations, which I believe follow the creation of these general templates, is the addition of these data and metrics specific recommendations or suggestions to be added to those templates, which of course will go in. So again, the commenter here is correct that that particular section that will point to these stripped down templates is not, those links aren't included in the proposed red line of the GNSO operating procedures, but those templates in of itself aren't meant to, I think was put it, that may have implications on any PDP. So I'm hopeful that the group may agree that there shouldn't be too much of a concern about those not being provided yet. Certainly once we get those created, those links will be connected into the working group guidelines so that the group will see. But in the purposes for what this group is trying to accomplish, the contents of what we have in this final report are exactly what will go into those future issue and initial report templates. The last thing I'll state is the desire here by including the red line of the GNSO operating procedures was to avoid an additional comment period down the road
should the GNSO Council approve these recommendations, that that would increase the implementation time for that. So I'll open up the floor for any comments or suggestions, or if we need to take any actions here. Hearing none. Let me try it this way. So, given that there is truth that those links don't exist in the operating procedures that were included in the red line of the public comment, does the group feel that once we have created those, that we should then update the guidelines with an additional red line for a future public comment so that they can be viewed before there's a final sign-off on that?
Barry, obviously, you're not reading the chat. Cheryl here. I'm busy agreeing with you, but that's okay.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other concerns by the group with this approach? As mentioned in prior comments or actions taken, we will make a slight adjustment to the key metrics consideration section of the template within the charter, which also has that. I wish I could come up with a better buzzword for the continuous improvement recommendation. That little subset piece of that is what would wind up in the initial report template once we get to there. And just as information purposes, we've got the new Mercedes version of the template back from ICANN Communications, and policy staff is now working on creating two different, as I mentioned, an issue template report as well as an initial report during the working group. Thanks, Jonathan. I didn't want to go as far as Lamborghini because, you know, when we get into that class, you might have thought we spent too much money on it. So I will update this particular comment based on more or less based on Cheryl's output and lack of any other input. We'll consider moving forward with the red line that we have with the GNSO operating procedures as they are, and certainly once we get those actual templates completed, will be announced out. We'll make those available and send those through the communication channels across the SOs and ACs for just as a heads up before we publish the final GNSO operating procedures based off of our work here. Okay, moving on to comment number 10. This is from the business constituency. And the BC strongly supports the use of data and metrics among other tools to aid in ICANN's policymaking processes. Specifically, the BC believes that the use of data and metrics as a complement to the multi-stakeholder process will improve the effectiveness of the PDP by helping the community set clear goals, benchmarks at the outset, and will also help focus efforts on the initiatives with the most significant impact on the community. I think this one's pretty straightforward, that there's agreement with the working group. The response would be noted, and thank you for responding to the public comment forum. Action taken would likely be none. EB7, I knew I liked you, Cheryl. All right, moving on to comment number 11. This is also the business constituency. They believe that the working groups should be encouraged to use data sources that are pre-existing and or publicly available when considering what data and metrics would support a PDP, as to minimize the cost and delays associated with appointing a new third-party provider to collect and handle the information. To the extent that the use of data and metrics are described in the initial report becomes a regular and major part of the PDP, ICANN should consider hiring additional staff with the requisite skills to manage the collection and analysis of such data. improved approaches to making policy may be found via other organizations with similar challenges whose work can serve as examples. Also, the academic discipline of policymaking continues to progress and likely has useful information for addressing specific uses of data and metrics. One example is the Cambridge Conference policy making in the big data era, June 2015, with a subsequent URL. I myself did not have a chance to review that particular document, but for the most part, I think this pretty much mimics the Google comment in that extra staff help would be nice, and that we use publicly available sources where possible prior to considering any third-party or possible resource-intensive types of metrics in relation to PDP deliberations. And looking at the chat, Jonathan states we pretty much should use the same response, and this is generally supportive. Cheryl agrees, and Pam, I believe you're right that likely the Google filed separately, and they are also a part of the BC as well as the registries group, but there is a policy person that is a member of the BC. And it should be also noted that Google's comments also kind of align with, as our prior deliberations had mentioned, with the GNSO review comments as well as to what this particular group's activities and recommendations were. All right, moving on to number 12. BC supports a collection of qualitative data in addition to quantitative to the extent that it's not already captured in the multi-stakeholder process. Qualitative data is particularly important where policies touch on internet users. Given the size and diversity of the community, it may not be possible to garner an accurate and fully representative view of users prospectively through the ICANN working group model. Accordingly, policies that directly affect users could significantly benefit from surveys or direct observations and more representative samples of users. However, qualitative input should be used to inform and interpret data. Then basically the BC appreciates ICANN's move forward towards research-based policy making. In fact, I'm looking at the chat now, and it does sound like this is similar to that as Google as well. And Pam is responding as, do we count these as two comments or one comment from Google? I think if this were a contentious issue, it would be important to reach out back to the business constituency and or Google to, if we absolutely needed to somehow quantify this. Both of them are definitely aligned and the same. I don't know. I also agree that they're two separate comments as that's how they were submitted. Certainly any organization is allowed to submit comments themselves. If this were a much more contentious aspect of a policy or a public comment, then it might be worth reaching out to see which one tried to carry more weight or which was more of an official stance. I don't think that it's necessarily warranted in this case, though, unless there's objections by the working group, we can certainly reach out back to them. I think in some ways after I read that, it almost seemed like there was a copy and paste exercise going on. All right, so I think based at least on the chat that the responses will also match that of what we provide for Google should there be any additional If we need to provide any additional updates in terms of the working group response, please let me know, and we can also, when we convene back next week, you'll be able to see the next updated version of the PCRT tool, and if they're out of sync, then we can make additional nuances on the responses for the BC versus Google. Let's move on to comment 13, which is from the ISP group. The internet service providers and connectivity providers operate internet backbone networks and or provide access to internet-related services to end users. We are key players on the internet and have an essential role in the stability development. In its stability and development, the internet ISPs, CPs, constituency seeks to strongly support the efforts and work products contained within the initial report on data and metrics for policymaking, and they'll continue to comment in subsequent dialogue phases. So I think in general they're in agreement with the working group's recommendations, and it doesn't sound like that there's any actions taken for this one. If there's any objections, then I'll go ahead and move forward to the number 14, which is from the Registrar Stakeholder Group. I think, again, this one was pretty much in support. Registrars like to thank staff for the working group volunteers for their work on the initial report and data metrics for policymaking, potential to improve and shape the ICANN policy development process outlined by this work are important and worthy of notice by the entire ICANN community. The registrars believe that the basic premise of this working group would benefit the ICANN community by encouraging better informed, fact-based policy, and that they'd like to see ICANN make a commitment to this initiative and consequently have a number of comments below. Broadly, they'd like to note and emphasize the working group's recognition that data will be most impactful in the processes prior to launching a PDP and the initial stages thereof. Given the finite resources of the community, it's absolutely crucial that we ensure that the problems the community attempts to resolve are both material and appropriately prioritized. Following that, they'd also like to highlight the importance of defining, wherever possible, quantitative, measurable goals for undertaken PDPs. The community should be casting a wary, skeptical eye on issues raised that lack evidence or rely on anecdotes, and the GNSO should be able to reject a PDP or at least constrain a PDP. If there's no evidence to support that a problem exists, we'd like to recommend the working group consider emphasizing the continuous improvement role that data-driven decision-making can provide. This should include the measuring of the impact of a policy change for a period of time post-implementation and possibly a process to revert policy if the desired impact is not achieved. As noted in the initial report, an independent third party will likely be able to collect, anonymize, and aggregate data. Such a service provider, however, will require funding, and the cost should not be borne by the contracting parties. If ICANN wishes to promote more fact-based decision-making, it will need to commit to financially supporting service providers to collect and process data and or facilitate the provisioning of data from other independent sources. Ensuring that an approved, secure, and neutral third party is collecting and aggregating data from contracted parties will make adoption of these recommendations far more palatable and will help to allay some of the concerns outlined below. Lastly, they want to reiterate a number of reservations regarding the collection of sampling of data from registrars. Given diversity in the size of registrars from one-person operations to those with thousands, there will be difficulty in obtaining data from a broad enough array of registrars to ensure information is representative. Not all registrars will have the capacity or resources to provide data. We would encourage the working group to consider how to ensure that data collected has appropriate diversity in sampling. The second bullet, there's a danger that data may be skewed by the large differences in registrar process implementation and business models. These differences will need to be carefully accounted for. Thirdly, registrars hold considerable volume of personal and private information. This type of information be excluded from any ICANN-related data requests. Fourthly, the collection of data from registrars may raise antitrust concerns. And lastly, the length of time data collected will be kept for is also a concern. It may grow stale and less relevant over time. Repeatedly, the data should be used for the purpose originally and explicitly intended and should be disposed of when the relevant work is complete. This will help mitigate opportunistic data mining and requests for data without legitimate policy concerns. Comments, questions, concerns with this comment? Graham, please.
I mean, aside from it being brilliant and insightful, I don't think there's a whole lot of new in there and stuff we haven't really talked about. There was a piece that came into us after the comment period had closed, and I think it's covered mostly, but I'll say it here just so I have it on the record, was that registrars anyway, and probably contracted parties, would like, if at their determination data is confidential to their business, they and it's sort of the sole discretion that, you know, they can opt out of the request with that consequence. That's, I guess, mostly what I had to say, but I think there's what we're trying to convey in there is a lot of data is good, let's make sure we use lots of it at the front end of the policy development process.
So, Graham, this is Barry. I think to your point that, you know, it's certainly what's been partially deliberated on and is kind of somewhat built into the decision tree. There's going to be a point where there is some sort of request that is made by the group, and there still needs to be there's an approval path towards that, and I guess, or perhaps maybe what you're getting to a little bit more precisely is perhaps a request might be approved, but we haven't really discussed an opt-out mechanism for certain conditions.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable way to frame it. Although, you know, none of this could ever be mandatory. We've talked about this numerous times, that, you know, you can't, I can't compel registrars or contracted parties to do this. So I'm not strictly sure that we need to build that opt-out, but maybe that's a sort of belt and suspenders clause.
Are there any other comments, Jonathan or Cheryl?
Yeah, this is Jonathan. I mean, I don't particularly have any difficulty with the things that are listed here. And I guess the question that I would turn back on Graham is, do you think that we need to incorporate all this somehow into our recommendations for them to be acceptable to your community at the point at which they're getting looked at by council? Or do you feel like you'll have sufficient control over the situation on a case-by-case basis that these principles, because a lot of them seem, you know, self-evident and absent any contrary recommendation by us to engage in an open data initiative or some of the other things that have been suggested along the way, do you have ongoing concerns and specific recommendations that you'd like to make for changes to our document for our final report before we submit it to council that'll make it more palatable to your community. Does that question make sense, Pam and Graham?
Yeah, I see Pam's hand, so I'll let her respond in a moment. I'd actually have to go back to the initial report and see if there's anything in there that I was going to cause any serious impediment to registrar supporting it. There is nothing that comes to mind immediately. So maybe there's a couple pieces in here that we can emphasize in our report, but maybe I'll take that on as homework to go back and take a look, see if there's anything I really want in there.
Thank you, Graham. This is Barry. There is, I think, within, Section 5 is where the group's deliberations and then the recommendations reside. I can't remember which recommendation number it is, but there is a section that basically kind of talks about these principles, and perhaps parts of your comments could be amended in that section to further emphasize, the position of the registrars or the contracted parties in general. I suspect Pam will have some agreement with this. So I'll turn it over to you, Pam, please.
Thanks, Barry. Hey, I actually was just going to say what you just said and Jonathan just said, just to go back to our principles in the initial report. I believe we came up with a set of principles and see what is not covered already. But I do want to touch upon the first and the second bullet points there that was that were in the registrar stakeholders' comments about the diversity of registrars and how data can be skewed. And I think that goes to the question of quality of data. So we were talking earlier about quantitative versus qualitative. But regardless of whether it's quantitative or qualitative data, I think I might have raised this a few calls back about reliability or accuracy or quality of data. And I think back then our decision or our conclusion was that is out of our scope. So it is an important question about how you actually design the sample and how you get the data that is representative of the status of affairs to make sure you get the true picture. And maybe that is what these first two bullets are trying to convey. So, Grant, maybe that's just my thought about the registrar's comments as a whole. If you can have a look at those principles we already came up with and see what needs to be covered additionally, then that would be great, and we can add that. Otherwise, in terms of sort of quality of data, maybe our response will be the same, that is really out of scope. That's all from me. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Pam. Graham, any response, or are you good?
I should note, actually, that Sarah Bakke, I think, is on the call, wrote a bunch of this too, and another registrar. So it's not, I should not be taking credit for the whole comment. No disagreement with what Pam is suggesting, and maybe a brief anecdote that I was just at this GDD Contracted Party Summit in L.A., and we had a registrar meeting on the Friday morning, and there is, interestingly, a lot of brand and corporate registrars in the room, and some of them were griping about, that they had to comply with policy that didn't really apply to them. They had to build stuff to, that is totally extraneous to their business. Like some of them basically don't do transfers, yet they have to comply with lots of stuff around the IRTP process. So that made me think of how we approach data quality and the diversity in registrar, and it's not just size, it's business model. Things like that. I don't know what there is to capture out of that saying. There's diversity and stuff there, but all of which I'll think about and see if there's text and we want to add to some of those principles.
Excellent. Thank you, Graham. And, something you might want to also take a look at is the metrics request form that a working group or a stakeholder group or constituency may fill out for the pilot effort. The idea with that was originally to you know, at least as a starter basis, but one section in there is to really define the requirements of the report, you know, or what's being requested for. And I think a lot of what you have listed in those bullets are applicable and perhaps maybe you know, a pseudo hints and tips kind of section, perhaps. I'm not sure about how, you know, because I think Pam touched on it very well. It is, you know, regardless of the request, who it's requested by or who it's requested from, if it's not detailed and specific about what it's trying to accomplish and what data is needed to really address the issue, then none of the result of it will be meaningful. And so, for example, if they're, let's just use the IRTPD as an example, if that future review were to go out and seek transfer-related data on FOAs working or not, it would make no sense to include brand-based registrars because, for the very nature, they don't conduct those transfers. So while the output of such a request may be aggregated and anonymized, the input of that request would say, well, we're only going to target X number of registrars of certain size or certain capability, and that exclude brands, as an example. So anyway, we're basically at the bottom of the hour. I think this is likely our first hour and a half, 90-minute call outside of maybe one of the ICANN meetings. So like I said, we'll meet again, and Jonathan, with your approval, I think this is a good stopping point. But our next call will be the same time next week. We made it about two-thirds of the way through this document, so we'll should likely be able to complete this review by the close of next meeting. We'll kick things off by picking up on this very topic, the action to you, Graham, to kind of for the little homework assignment. We'll maybe just spend a little bit more time on this particular topic and see what any other adjustments to the report that may be required. In addition to that, then I'm taking the action to, again, go through the transcripts, update the prior comments that we reviewed with a working group response summary and action taken notation, where we have discussed in the few spots that there may be updates to report the report. I'll be sure to highlight those with notes and send both of those documents towards the end of this week for your review prior to next week's call. Any closing comments, Jonathan? Otherwise, I'll turn it over to you.
Great, Barry. Thanks, and thanks to you and others who worked on this comment tool, et cetera. I mean, it's really helpful to be able to go through things this way, and we're learning some great techniques and tools through the CCWG process, which is good, and because I've always been a fan of accountability through explanation of decisions, so I'm glad that we're engaged in it. And thanks everyone for getting on the call. Sorry that we things got crazy and we slipped our deadline, but I think we're still on a good path and building a good set of recommendations. So it's better to do it right than get it done early and have it rejected by council. So thanks everyone for your continued effort.
All right, great.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, everyone. See you next week.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. And, Samantha, if you can please stop all recordings.